Today's presenter is Kamarian Nathan. Kamarian has been working on the SM and anime components for more than 4 years. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kamarian.
Hi, welcome everybody. Today we are going to see WebSphere application server application management. It's not a continuation of yesterday's presentation. So those who have not attended the yesterday meeting are fine. So it's going to be entirely separate and new topic today. So let's move on to the slide 2. And today we are going to see how we are updating application on WebSphere 6.0 and 6.1. It's all new features introduced in 6.0 and 6.1. So we are going to see all the features like update application, rollout update, and how you can view and update application bindings, and how you can remove a single file for an application, and what is an enhanced ER file, which is also new in 6.0. And we are also going to see the troubleshooting topics. So let's move on to slide 3 so that we can talk about each and every topic. So we are going to see the new features, the fine-grained application update on 6.0 and 6.1. In earlier versions of 5.0, 5.1, if you want to update an application, you have to update the entire application. But on 6.0 and 6.1, you can update an entire application, or you can update one file. It could be a JSP or a servlet file, or even you can update a single model. Could be a jar or a var model, or you can replace the model, or you can add a model, or if you want to update a jar file, or if you want to update a var file, you can also do so. So we are going to see all the details in the coming section. So let's move on to slide 4. So let's see in detail about the application update, the features, new features in 6.0, the version 6. The application update introduced in version 5, we didn't have that in the earlier versions like 4 or 3, 5. So we have limitations on version 5. Like if you want to update an application, you need the entire ER file to update an application. And also when you update an application, you will have a downtime. The application will be stopped and restarted. So if the application is running on 5.0 or 5.1, and if you want to update the application, first, it starts the application, installs the application, then starts the application automatically. So during that time, the clients who are accessing the application will be losing their connectivity or will be losing their access. So you will have the downtime in 5.0 and 5.1, and also you need the entire ER file, as I said earlier. And with the using the fine-grained update in V6, you can update a single component. It allows application subcomponent to be supplied. For example, if you want to add a jar file or a var file or a rar file, whatever you want to add, you should be able to add the application and add the model, and only that particular model will get started. So it won't even disturb your application which is running on your system. So your application will be up and running always. Only that particular new component that is you are adding in will get started. So the point two is the restart part of the application. Suppose if you want to make a modification to a existing var model, so only that particular var model will get restarted. So rest of your application will be running. Your EJP model and other var models will be running fine. Only the model that you are updating will get restarted. And also, when you do an update on version 6, it preserves the application configurations, like whatever configuration you already have on the application, like your class loader setting, share library, and it could be any other configuration binding information you may have on the application will be preserved during the update operation. So those changes will not be lost when you update an application. So we are going to see this again and again. Probably you will get more familiar about the new feature and how this this works on 6.0, 6.1. let's move on to slide 5. On version 6, if you go out to the admin console, and you will see on the left-hand side all the links, click on the application, click on the enterprise application, and it will list out all the application that's been deployed on your cell. So if you select one of the application and click on update, it takes to you a new page where you will see 4 options there. One is update the entire application. You don't want to add a module or single file or anything. You want to update the entire application. You can do that. Option 2, you can say, I want to replace or add a single file. The single file could be your JSP file, or it could be your servlet, or it could be any file. So that is option 2, to add or replace a single file. And when you do that, if you want to replace a file, there will be a checkbox, there will be a text field where you need to enter the absolute URI for that class file or a servlet or a JSP, whatever it is. So you need to say the entire path after the root of the AR. For example, your root of the AR is profile root / installed app / cell name. And if you want to update an application called abc.ear, inside that you want to replace a JSP, so you need to say abc.ear/ whatever the path, absolute path to the JSP or a servlet, you need to pass that. And the option 3 is the single module. Either you can add a single module or you can replace a single module. So if you want to add a single module, all you need to give is, if you want to add a var module, you will upload the var module as you install an application or as you update a whole application, it's going to be the same. You click on the upload button and upload the var module, and then you will give the path. If it is you are adding as a new var file, you will give the var file name, for example, test.var or whatever the var file name, and then upload it, and the rest of the options are going to be exactly the same. So click next and go ahead and deploy now, the add or replace the var file. And if you want to replace, and you need to give the existing var module name there in the text field, and then upload the new var module, and then go ahead and replace it. And as I said, when you replace or when you add, only that particular var module will get restarted. Rest of your application will be up and running, and you will be having 100% availability during that time for other modules. So the last option in the update is the partial application. So with this partial application, you can remove a particular file in a var module or in a jar file, or you can add a particular file in a var module or a jar or whatever. We have a couple of examples, so we can discuss about it in detail. Probably if you move on to slide 6, yeah, this is what the partial application does. Partial application is a zip file containing application artifacts. So it's not a valid J2E archive. It's not a ER file. You create a zip file, and which will have all the information about which are the files we are going to remove or what are the files we are going to add. And before we talk about this, probably if you see an example on slide 7, and we can come back to slide 6 again, so that it will be very clear and it will be easier for you to understand. So let's move on to slide 7. So here is the cool example. So if you see the application ER file on the left-hand side, the table, whatever you see, so that is the application ER file. For example, you have deployed this application ER file on your system. So this application ER file have 3 modules, 2 jar modules and 1 var module. So module 1.jar contains 2 files with the URI a/b/file1, c/d/file2. The module 2 is a var file which has 2 files, e/f/file1 and g/h/file2. And module 3 is a jar file which has 2 more files, So you have three models in the application ER file, which is deployed on your system. And you don't want to update the entire application, and you want to replace only one or two files, and or you want to add one or two files to these models, and you don't want to change the entire thing. So what you need to do is, all you need to do is you have to create a zip file. If you see on the right-hand side, you will see partial application.zip. In that, you will have three files with this directory structure. You have to create a zip file exactly like this, module1.jar/a/b/file1, module2.var/m/n/file3, and you have /module3.jar. So you have three files inside the zip file. So on the first one, if you see module1.jar/a/b/file1, so you want to replace, you could come back to the application EAR table, inside that you have module1.jar and it contains a/b/file1. And if you want to replace that, you have to create a zip file with exact URI. And the second one on the module2.var file, you want to add one more file, for example, m/n/file3. That's what you see in the partial application.zip table. The first one is to replace the file 1 in module1.jar file. The second one is you are adding a file to the module2.var file. And third one is you are not giving the full URI, and you are giving the module3.jar, which contains the exact similar name. If you have a caps, it's case sensitive, it should be exactly the same. And if you pass this, the entire module3.jar will be replaced. So you want to replace the entire module3.jar, and you can have anything in that jar file. No matter what you have in the jar file, that's not going to be validated. And if you zip it, and then click on the application, click on update, and click on partial update, and upload this zip file, and click next, 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 your entire things will be added or replaced. So as you see in the bottom, the a/b/file1 in module1.jar of the ER file is replaced. So in the module1.jar file, the a/b/file1 is replaced. And in module 2, a new file is added, it's file 3, and module 3 in the ER file is entirely replaced. So the module3.jar file is entirely replaced by the new zip what you have provided. And when you see the final application ER file table, you will see the module1.jar is replaced. It's a new copy of your file 1, and in module2.var file, you have a new file, the file 3, and module3.jar file is entirely replaced and contains the new files there. So these are the few cool features with the application update. And let's go back now to slide 6. Now it may make sense to you. So this partial application is a zip file containing application artifacts. It's going to be a zip file. So you create a zip file with the URI to replace or to add, and same hierarchical structure as they appear in the application ER file. So you cannot have a different application hierarchy. So if you pass, suppose if you have want to replace a/b/file1, you have to say a/b/file1. If you say a/b/c/file1, so it will get appended. It will treat that as a new file and it will add the file into your application. During update, the contents are added or replaced within the deployed application ER file. So that's what we have been seeing. So either it will be added or replaced in a var file or a jar file or any model. If the update zip file contains a jar file, then the entire jar file is replaced. That's what we have seen in model 3 there. The entire model 3 was replaced, which contains the new file names. So in the version 6, as I said, we have four features to update an application. Either you can update an entire application, it's the same feature like what you had in version 5. And if you want to update a single file, here JSP or a servlet. If you want to add or replace, you can do so using single file, or you can add or replace a single model using single model option, or you can do a partial application update, which you can add or replace or anything, whatever you do, you want, put it in a zip file and you are done. And let's now move on to slide 8. If you want to delete a file in a jar or a var file, you should be able to do it with the previous one, what we have discussed, or there is a one property which is introduced also in this version. In a partial application, the file deletion is specified using a special metadata file. So the metadata file name is ibm-partialapp-delete.props. So the name should be exactly the same, and you create a file folder called meta-nf, and you create a file called ibm-partialapp-delete.props file. And if you want to delete, all you need to do is, let's see this table here, the first one, the application EF file. You have model1.jar and model2.var file. So the model1 contains 3 files and model2 contains 2 files. Suppose if you want to delete this hierarchy itself, A/B, for example, you have under the classes.com/IBM/something. You want to remove all com.IBM there, com/IBM. So what you need to do is you open the IBM partial app delete prop file in an editor, which is empty right now because you just created a property file, and all you need to say there is A/B/file. Just put one entry there and save the file. And now you got the IBM partial app delete props file, and you have to zip the file with the meta-nf folder included, meta-nf/IBM-partial-app-delete-props. And the rest of the process are same as we discussed as a partial update. All you click on upload and then go next, and whatever you mentioned in the property file will be replaced, will be removed. So the, if you see in the application final ER file, in the model1.jar file, you have only E/F/file1. So both A/B/file is removed. Actually, you can pass as an asterisk or whatever you want, like A/B/asterisk. So we follow the java.util.regex.pattern method. So whatever pattern that supports, we do support that actually. And you can also pass this as an application scope or a model scope. So application scope is, if you want to update a jar file underneath the root of the ER file, the root of the ER file is nothing but your profile name slash installed apps folder slash your cell name. Underneath the cell name, that is your application level. And if you go inside the ER and inside the var file, that's going to be your model level actually. So you should be able to replace any file under the root of the application, or it could be on the model level as well, like var model. So as we discussed, so this is how we update an application in WebSphere version 6. It's supported in both version 6 as well as 6.1. And you can also use WSAdmin scripting to do all these operations. Instead of saying $admin app install, you say admin app space update, and you can pass the options whatever you want to do. You can do all the 4 steps what we are doing here using the WSAdmin as well. Now let's move on to slide 9. So application restart behavior. So when you update an application, nobody wants their application to get restarted, right? They want their application to be available all the time, 100% availability. So if you talk about your production system, nobody wants to have a downtime. They want to run the application always. This is not 100% you can avoid this, because that particular piece of module will get restarted. There is nothing we can do about it, because if you want the changes to take effect, that application should get restarted. So we have some of the scenario described here. So update scenario one, the module addition. You want to add a module like EJP or a web module, WAR file or a JAR file. If you add a WAR file or a JAR file, only that particular module will get started. So rest of the module will not even get disturbed. That will be running as it is. You can go ahead and add one particular piece of module, so that will get started and that will also join with your application. And second one is web module deletion. When if you want to remove a WAR file, what it does, it stops the WAR file first, web module first, and it removes it from your configuration. So only that web module or the WAR file will get affected. Other stuff won't even get recycled. So web module update. If you update a web module, only that particular web module will get recycled. So other changes are applied, all other changes are applied dynamically. So all other changes, if you make a change to your EJP or anything other than WAR module, your entire application should get recycled, and will get recycled actually. If the application is running, what it does, it stops the application, makes those changes, and starts the application again. That's how it's been designed. And even one more thing is, if your WAR module contains some role, security roles mapping, and if other module needs those roles, probably during that time, you may have to recycle the entire application, because any security changes you make on WebSphere environment, the servers should be recycled. So it cannot take it dynamically. You have to recycle the application to get those changes, your security roles or mapping changes. Now let's move on to slide 10, which is a new section, which is rollout update. Before we talk about this section, I just want to make sure if anyone have any problem to log into the Technical Exchange page, the password is WSCE number 11 OCT. So in the password in the website is wrong. So if you have any difficulty, please use the new password, which is WSTE11OCT. Okay. Now let's move on to the topic, the slide 10, rollout update. So rollout update is a very cool, neat feature in WebSphere 6. With this, you will have 100% availability. You don't have to worry about your application recycle. You don't have to worry about your production down, nothing. So it is a very neat, clean feature in WebSphere 6 onwards. So let's move on to slide 11. Rollout update. Rollout update feature provides 100% of application availability. This can be selected in the application update user interface, or when this is selected, the application update is applied on each node in turn. So when you say rollout update, you will have a button called rollout update in the application panel. You click on application, enterprise application. It will list out all the application names. On top of that, you will see all the buttons like install, uninstall, update, rollout update, right? So you cannot just select the application and say rollout update. You cannot do that, because before even you do that, you have to update the application. So this rollout update is applicable only if the application is installed on a cluster. So it is not applicable if you have deployed your application on a single server. So it won't even work if you have deployed an application on a single server. If you talk more about the rollout update, you will be more clear what I'm talking about. Probably let's move on to slide 12 to see how this rollout update really works. So this use rollout update if the application is deployed on one or more cluster. As I said earlier, the rollout update works only when the application is deployed on a cluster. So you are updating an application. You have an application. You are updating the application. I'm talking about a full application now. So you have an entire EIR file. It's a new edition, new copy EIR file, and you want to update with your existing EIR file. So you are using the full update, click next, 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 and you are done with your update, and click the finish button on the summary panel, and then once you click finish, it will deploy, make all the changes, and keep it in a temp folder, and it will give you 3-4 options. Do you want to save it, or do you want to review it, or do you want to roll out the application? So there you will have the link to which says the rollout update, or there will be a link called manage application as well. If you don't want to do anything at that time, you don't want to save, or you don't want to roll out, you just click on the manage application. But if you click on save there, you are done. The rollout operation cannot take place after you click on save up button or save link there. So if you really want to do a rollout, after clicking on the summary page, then you will see 3-4 links there. You have to click rollout update, or you have to click manage application to come back to the page, and you can do the rollout whenever you want. So what this rollout really does, it saves the updated application configuration. When you update an application, it saves the updated application configuration into your temp folder or somewhere. And if you have deployed it on 4 nodes, or let's take 2 nodes now, you deployed the application on a cluster. The cluster has 2 cluster members, and both the cluster members are running on different nodes. So it stops all of the cluster member on one node. So what it does, it goes to the node 1, stops the cluster member on node 1, and expands the application there, and do whatever it wants, updates the application, expands the application, and then it will start the application server. The entire cluster will go down, and this update operation will be completed with the sync, and then that cluster member will get restarted. Once that is started, it moves to node 2 and repeats the same thing. It stops the cluster member, updates the application, expands it, and then starts the cluster member after that. So during this process, your application will be up and running all the time, because the application will be running on one cluster, so at least one cluster member will be up and running all the time. So you will have 100% availability of your application using this rollout update feature. So it's a very cool feature which is introduced in version 6. You didn't have this feature in 5.0 and 5.1. I've seen many people had problem in earlier versions. They wanted to have 100% availability, and even we have given a lot of options, try this, try that, but it never worked, and you didn't have a 100% availability at that time. But luckily we have this rollout update feature, and if you have an application deployed on a cluster, then you can have the 100% availability of your application. This is almost like if you ever used a Ripple Start on a cluster, it's almost does the same thing. Because of the Ripple Start of your cluster also, it stops one cluster member, starts it, and go to another node, and starts the cluster member, stops it, and starts it like that. So rollout operation is almost like similar to the Ripple Start feature you might have seen in 5.0, 5.1, or in 6.0 as well. So let's move on to slide 13. So now, we talked about updating application, and we talked about rollout update. Now, once you have done it, if you want to view or update the application bindings, the modification you want to make after you deploy an application, you should be able to do so using WSAdmin or using admin console. Now, let's move on to page 14. So, on page 14, example here, what are the things you may see after you deployed an application or after you update an application. So you click on application, enterprise application, and all the applications are listed there. You click on one of the application name, for example, default application. Click on the default application, and that will take you to this page. Probably the page that you have here may not be same on 6.1 because 6.1 panels are a little bit different than 6.0. This is one from 6.0. So if you click on the enterprise application, but the concept is same, so on 6.1. If you click on the enterprise application name, default application, for example, you click on the application, and it will list out all the options you have for that application. For example, you will have the name of the application, so which you cannot change, and the name of the application should be unique in the cell. It cannot be duplicated. So either you can give WebSphere Bank _1 or 1. The name should be different if you want to deploy one more version of the same application. The application name cannot be same. And starting weight, when you start the application server, the application will get started automatically. If you want to disable the feature, you can go into that application. I forgot the exact link, but there is an option where you can say disable the application during the startup. So you can go there and you can disable the application during startup so that application won't even start when you start the application server. So starting weight, if you give the lower weight, will start first. Higher weight will start later. So if you give 1 for another application, if you have 2, so 1 will get the application having the weight of 1 will get started before the 1 you have with 2. So the third point is the application binaries. The application binaries is where your binaries are stored. Probably those who joined yesterday probably might be a little familiar with the locations or where to see, but I'll just repeat one more time. When you deploy an application in WebSphere, you will have the application in three places, one under your profile name, config, cell name, and application folder. And you will also have the binaries under this profile root / your cell name / installed app / your cell name. Underneath you will have the application binaries. And there will be entry in the server index.xml file, which is under your profile name, cell name, node name. Underneath you will have a file called server index.xml file, which will have an entry for your application. So this is the binary location, application binaries. All your jar file, your servlet, class files, everything will get expanded into the installed apps directly. And there is another feature, if you see the next one, use metadata from binaries. If you select this one, use metadata from binaries, all your deployment.xml file and your XML files, web binding files, everything the WebSphere or the application needs will be taken it from the installed apps folder. It won't read it from the config folder. By default, it is false, so all your binding information will be taken from the config folder. Profile name, config, cell name, application. Underneath, you'll have the deployment.xml file, you'll have the web binding, EJP binding, all the binding files. So all the binding information, WebSphere will read it from that location. If you select this one, use metadata from binaries, all the metadata information will be taken it from the installed apps folder. So WebSphere uses the installed apps folder to read the information. So when you make any changes to your XML file, web.xml or any file, I would always recommend to put it in all the places. Make a change, put it in your profile name, config, cell name, application folder, and also put it in the installed apps folder. And the third one is enable distribution. By default, it is selected. If it is not selected, the application won't even get expanded into your installed apps folder. Sometimes if you see a problem that application is not even expanded into your installed apps folder, then this might be the reason. So you might have unselected this while deploying an application. So you come back here, select this, enable distribution, save and synchronize then your application will get expanded into your installed apps folder again. So we have class loader mode with parent first or parent last. So parent first, it will try to load the class file from not from the same model or the same class loader, it will try to load it from the parent. So if we talk more about it, it will take a lot of time, so probably it's going to be an entirely separate topic, the class loader. So let's move on to, let me tell about this var class loader policy. If you, there will be two options, one is model and application. If you set it to model, each and every model will be running on a separate class loader. For example, you have four var models and two jar files. So if you say var class loader policy to model, all the four var models will be running on separate class loader. And there is another option called application. If you set that to an application, all the var models will be running on one class loader. If you set it to application, if you have four models and two jar files, everything will be running on one class loader. And there is a disadvantage with application, because when we are talking about updating an application with a var model, just replacing a var model, adding a var model, and if you have the var class loader policy set to application, then entire application has to be restarted, because it's not running on separate class loader, it's running on one class loader, everything running on one class loader if you set it to application. So you may have to recycle the entire application, or the application will get recycled automatically. So this is a reload interval. It's the same feature what you had in the WebSphere 5051. Like if you want to do a hard deployment, like take a jar file or a class file, just go and put it, dump it in the installed apps folder. And if it sees any changes, if the reload enabled is selected, the application will recycle during this interval. It is in seconds, 3 seconds or 10 seconds or whatever. Let's move on to slide 15. On slide 15, this is about viewing or editing the application related information. I don't think I have to talk more about it, because it's very straightforward. You go to the page, whatever you want to make changes, you can click on those links. You will, on 6.0, all these links are populated dynamically on 6.1. So you won't be seeing all the links for your application. You may not be seeing if your application needs security, if you have mapped with the security already, then probably those links will be displayed or it won't be displayed. Like that, most of the information won't be repeated in the 6.1. Only the link which is required by your application will be displayed on the console on 6.1. So you can change your session, you can change your library if you want to add a shared library or whatever you want to do. Yeah, I was talking about the application startup during the server startup, right? So here is the link, actually, the target mapping, the fourth link under the additional properties, if you see. If you click on this target mapping, it will say where this application is deployed, and there will be a checkbox which will say enabled or disabled. If you disable this, the application that is deployed on that app server will not get started when you start the app server. So you need to go to the console or use the WSAdmin to manually start the application. So application won't get started if you disable that feature. And now let's move on to slide 16 and remove files. You can remove one file or two file or three file from the application. You don't want to do it manually. Nobody wants to do it manually, because if you do it manually, you may end up corrupting a lot of other files. So we don't even recommend editing or modifying anything manually. Everything should be using your WebSphere console or using the WSAdmin. Maybe the tracing and all, sometimes if servers won't even come up, there is no other way to enable the tracing, those things are fine. You can modify the files manually. But other than that, try using the tools which is available in WebSphere application server. Let's move on to slide 17. So remove a file. So remove a file, delete the file of the deployed application. You can remove one file, two file, three file, however file you want. remove a file from the configuration repository and on all the nodes where the file is installed. So as I said, the application when you deploy, it will be in two places, one under the config folder, one under your installed apps, and one entry in the server index. So if you want to remove a web.xml file, I'm just giving you an example. Nobody wants to remove a web.xml file, right? So if you want to remove it, just go select the application, click on the remove file button. It will display all the files in the configuration of your ER file. So you can just select whatever you want to remove there and click remove. The files will be removed from the application configuration. It will remove from your configuration folder. It will remove from your installed apps. It will remove from all the references. So you won't be having the reference at all for that XML file or a JSP file or whatever. If the application deployed on a cluster, click rollout update to roll out the changes across the entire cluster. So once you are done with the click remove all the files and you don't want to just start the application, and if you select the application and click rollout and it stops one cluster member at a time and starts it and go to other node, stops one cluster member there, starts the cluster member like that. So you can use the rollout feature, rollout update, after making any changes on the application which is deployed on a cluster, you should be able to rollout update. As I say, you should not click the save button there. If you click the save button, the operation is completed. Then you cannot use the rollout update again. So you got to remember always, before clicking on the save, click on the select the application and click on the rollout, which will take care of your application, sync, save, everything. So export the application before removing the file. So always it is advisable to take a backup of your application. So it's better to export the application from the configuration. So when you export the application, you will have with all the changes, whatever you make to the application, you can export the application and take a backup. And also, you can better to run backup config tool every week or every month or before you make any major changes to your configuration. You got to run the backup config tool on the deployment manager master configuration, which contains all your configuration files. Even if any corruption happens on your node, you can still should be able to get it from the master configuration, which is your deployment manager. So let's move on to slide 18, which is enhanced ER file. So enhanced ER file is a new feature again in WebSphere 6.1. We did not have this feature on 5.1. Let's move on to slide 19 to talk more about the enhanced ER file. So enhanced ER file. This enhanced ER file, when you deploy an application, you have to pass all the information about your virtual host or shared library and everything, right? So if it is an enhanced ER file, you don't have to pass anything. It can use what you have already in the ER file. So if you export an application on WebSphere 6 or WebSphere 6.1, that application will get exported as an enhanced ER file. So that ER file, or if you do it from AST or RAD, if you give all the application level scope, you change all your shared library setting there or change all your virtual host or any resources, put everything there, export the application, that will also be a enhanced ER file. So take the enhanced ER file and deploy it on the WebSphere application server. So it will take all the configurations, what you have in the application, and you can just deploy it. For example, you have a production application running fine. You made a lot of changes, spent a lot of hours changing those, making those changes. And all you need to do is just export the application and deploy it on any other system, so which is nothing but your enhanced ER file. So enhanced ER file configuration metadata embedded inside ER file, and it contains configuration required by the ER, which is your resource, virtual host, shared library, and other things. And resources and properties included with the application, and it simplifies your deployment. As I said in the picture, as you see in the picture, you have everything under the ER file. So all you need to do, just take it and deploy the application. So you don't have to worry about changing the configuration while deploying the application. If you really want to make sure this EAR file is an NASTR file or not, the easiest way is just open the EAR file. If you open the EAR file, you will have a folder called MetaInf folder. Inside the MetaInf folder, if you go, you will have a folder called IBM config. The folder name is IBM config folder. So config, then it contains the full URI path up to the deployment.xml file. So the deployment.xml file will have all the information about your application, like all the attributes, whether to distribute the application or where to deploy the application and class loader setting and starting weight or whatever it is, all the information are going to be there in the deployment.xml file. So everything will be taken from there. So if you want to make sure if it is the ER file, the NSTR file, all you need to do is just open the ER file, go to the MetaInf folder, make sure you have an IBM config folder. If you have an IBM config folder there, then you can consider it as a NSTR file. Let's move on to slide 20. So this NSTR file, it detected during application install. When install itself, it detects whether it's an NSTR file or it's an ordinary ER file. So the resources created under the application scope, you can use RAD or you can use AST tool to create the application level, the resource scope, and all the information you can just export the application and install it on VAS as announced. You cannot be edited in administrator console. You cannot edit the NSTR file in the console and make those changes. That is not possible. Either you have to use RAD or you have to use AST to do that. So as I said, again, the application exported from the SPR application server version 6 will be exported as NSTR file. So, but when you do it on your production system, export the NSTR file, deploying it on the SPR version, anything below 602.21 or 611.11, be careful because there are two major defects fixed in those releases, which might remove your applications under the installed apps folder, which I'm going to talk about in the troubleshooting section. So probably we can talk about it in detail about those. Let's move on to section 21, which is troubleshooting section, and move on to slide 22. These are the common issues we see every day. I have this problem, I have that problem. And the first issue is I'm seeing the save conflict issue while modifying the application resources or deploying an application or when you update an application or install. Most of the time, it could be because of two or three users accessing the same configuration at the same time. Three people log into the console or one people in the console and one guy is trying to modify it on a WS admin. Or you made a change earlier, but you did not even save those changes. Or it could be any one of this. So if you don't want the changes, you can say discard instead of selecting save. If you want the changes that you made recently, you can say save and synchronize. So the changes will be saved and synchronized. If you still have a problem all the time for one particular user, you see the save conflict issue most of the time, it may not be these issues. Probably you can clean up the WS temp folder, which is under your profile name, WS temp folder. Probably the WS temp is a workspace temp directory, which will have information all about the current user and their preference, and all the information are stored there. So probably you can try removing that and then restart the server and see if the problem goes away. So when we are talking about the NSTR file, I said the application might be removed under the installed apps. So deploying an NSTR file removes all the application from installed apps folder. So you take an ER file from the 6061 system, which is your NSTR file, deploy it on any other server, which everything goes fine, you won't see any problem at all, it will say save, synchronize, everything completed, but when you try to start the application won't start. You won't even know what's the problem, but if you go and check the installed apps folder, you won't even see any application under the installed apps folder. This happens in only one scenario. If you open the deployment.xml file in the enhanced ER file, there will be a attribute called binaries URL, which will say where the application is going to be installed, right? So if you ever open the deployment.xml file, probably you may know. Or in the previous section also, we have seen the binaries URL where the application is installed, right? So in that application URI, the binaries URL attribute, if it contains, for example, the profile root slash cell name, which is maybe test cell, slash the application name. If it contains that in the deployment.xml file and you take that application and deploying it on cell 2, for example, the first one contains cell 1 and you are deploying it on cell 2. So until 60217 or 6109, we were not able to read the cell name properly in the binaries URL. We were not able to interpret the cell name, and we will lead it to the application, the profile folder itself, the profile name under the installed apps. We expand the file under the installed apps itself. We will leave the cell name there and remove the expand the file under the installed apps folder itself, not under the cell. You will always have a cell name under the installed apps. So in this case, it expands the file under the installed apps folder itself. So all other applications that you deployed under the installed apps cell name will be lost, will be removed. So, but in the deployment.xml file binaries URL, instead of saying the app install root slash cell 1 slash application name.ear, if you have app install root slash dollar within bracket cell, which is nothing but your variable, if you have that, you won't have the problem, or you may not see the problem at all if you define dollar with dollar, then open a parenthesis, give cell, close a parenthesis, then you won't be having that problem. So you need to be a little bit careful when you deploy or when you update the NSTR file. That's fixed in 602.11 and 602.21. The PK is, the APAR number is PK34481, actually. It's not in the presentation, but the APAR number is PK34481 if you want to learn more about it. So if the applications are lost, and how do you want to get it back? It's very unfortunate. Either you may have to, there are three options actually. You can try, either you reinstall the application or update the application, then you will get a copy of your installed apps. Or you can use a tool called EAR Expander tool. If you use that tool, using that tool, you can expand the binaries again into the installed apps folder. The third option, which is not recommended by IBM, which is you go to the app server side, profile name, config, cell name, application folder, go inside the folder and remove the application name, not on the D manager, on the app server side, under the application folder, remove it. And before you do it, stop the node agent, remove that file, and run the sync node. Again, your application will get expanded onto your installed apps or wherever the application is expanded already. Those are the three options, but we always recommend the option two, because nobody wants to redeploy the application, so option one is almost ruled out. So ER Expander is the only option I would say. If it is a test system or if it is your development system or you really want to try it out, you can try the third option. And fourth point is, when you deploy an application or update an application, a lot of time your config temp on your D manager or your WS temp will be full. We see a lot of people asking this question, can we remove the files under the temp safely? Yeah, it is safe to remove, unless you have the server running. So always make sure your D manager and node agent are stopped. Stop both JVM and then remove all the files under the profile name, config temp directory, everything under the temp. And also, you can do the same thing on app server side as for WS temp and temp folder. So that's pretty much today's presentation. If you have more question or probably if you are not clear about any of the point, probably you can ask that in the question and answer time. The tracing, if you want to enable you move on to next slide on 23. The tracing, pretty much this is what we have even in the MustGather document. Or even if you want to see any of the problem, probably you can enable this tracing. I would always recommend enable it on the runtime so that you can capture, just put it on the runtime, go and pre-create the problem. So it will be small, tracing will be small, and you should be able to disable the tracing again. You don't want your system to be running with this tracing because it will take a lot of the com.ibm.ws management. Or the second one is com.ibm.ws.websphere. It's not com.ibm.websphere. And the default trace location is your profile root log d manager and log.trace.log file. If still you are not able to figure out the problem, probably you can open a PMR with the Sphere and we should be able to help you out. So let's move on to slide 24, so which is a summary. So what we have seen today, we have seen fine-grained application update. So in application update, we had four options in version 6, which is updating entire application, adding or replacing a single file, or add or replace a single module, or partial update of an application. Anything is possible. And file deletion is also supported in this release on 6.0.6.1. You should be able to remove one particular file or two file or however you want to remove. And view update application binding, it's almost same like what we had in WebSphere 5.5.1. But on 6.1, as I said, all the links are dynamically generated on the console. So you won't be seeing any extra links, and the pages will be a little different. You may not see the same pages on 6.0 and 6.1 as well, because 6.1 is kind of a little different than 6.1, I mean, from the viewer perspective, but the functionalities are all same. And module level start and stop is supported, as we saw in the earlier section or the slide. The module level of a VAR module or whatever, it is supported, and you should be able to stop and start. And there is one more thing I just want to mention here. In the application, you have application on running on your production or any system, and you click on the enterprise application, and you want to make any change on those links. Click on the enterprise application name, make any change on those links. If you do that, the application will get recycled. The entire application will get recycled. So you got to be careful. Probably we may come up with the later release, maybe in 7 or 8, I'm not sure when we are going to add that feature. But on 6.0.6.1, click on the enterprise application. Any change like last order setting, starting weight, or your application binary location, or click on the web container, go inside the EJB container, make any changes anywhere on those panels, your application, if it is running, the application will get restarted, will stop and start again after you make those changes. So you got to be careful when you make those changes. Even if you don't want the changes to take effect immediately, you need to wait until no customer or no one logged into the application. And the last one is the enhancedr file includes embedded application resources. So as we talked about this enhance, it's a very cool feature, but make sure you are on 6.0.2.21, or before you deploy it, make sure the binaries URI in the deployment.xml file contains the dollar cell, not the real cell name in the binaries URL path. If you have that, you're good to go. You should be able to update the application using the enhancedr file. So we are 10 past 12 here, so I'm almost done. So for additional WebSphere product resource, you can go to all these links whenever you get a chance. And now the time for question and answer. Probably I will hand it over now to L.H. Robertson. Probably we can talk about the question and answer later. Thanks.
And we'll take our first question from Sai Apula with Fidelity Investments.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hi, Kumar. It was a nice presentation again. When you were talking about the deployment XML changes for enhanced EAR, you said we need to replace the cell name with a dollar bracket, a literal sing, C-E-L-L?
Yes.
Or is it VAS? Is it a VAS variable or?
It is a WebSphere variable, but you may not see that in the, if you go to the WebSphere variable link, you may not see that attribute. But it is embedded and it is hard-coded, actually, that cell variable.
Okay. So it's a literal string, C-E-L-L.
Yeah, it is a literal string, C-E-L-L, dollar, open parenthesis, C-E-L-L, close the parenthesis, then slash your application name dot EAR.
Okay.
If you have that, you are good to go. Most of the application, when you deploy itself, sometimes it takes it, actually. I'm not sure if there is some reason for, or when you deploy the application itself, you can say dollar parenthesis cell for the first time. So it will always have the dollar cell, actually.
So it's only in the binaries URL attribute?
Yeah, that is the only place which contains the location of the ER file.
Okay.
The binaries URL in the deployment.xml file. We don't have it in any other place.
Okay. Does this export do the SSL configuration?
SSL configuration, you mean for your application?
Yeah, if I'm using a repository, SSL repository, which is configured on the server.
Anything, if it is going to be in your application level, will get exported. If any resources will get exported. But if it is going to be outside the application level, then it won't get exported. I mean, it has to be under your, if you're talking about SSL configuration, which you have created or have it in with your installed apps or inside the application, then that will get exported. Or that SSL configuration, you may have to create it separately if you want to deploy it or use the same thing on different server. Because I never seen any SSL configuration link or anything for the application.
Okay. In the deletion of files or jars within an EAR. If we need to delete a var, what do we put in the property file?
In the IBM partial app delete props file?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, you just have to give the module name. It will wipe out everything. If you say slash module dot jar or jar module slash dot var, it will get removed actually. The entire var module will be removed.
So that has to go under the EAR meta-NF?
No, you don't have to pass the entire path. All you need to give is the var name. If you want to remove a var file in a EAR file, you just open the property file and just give the var name.
Okay. So this property file has to reside only at the Enterprise Archive meta-NF directory or it can be anywhere?
You can have it anywhere, but when you zip it, you need to zip it as with the folder meta-nf slash IBM. The name should be exactly the same. The zip file should contain this folder, meta-nf, and that folder should contain this property file. You can have it anywhere outside, temp folder or anywhere you have it, and when you zip it from there. Zip it from the meta-nf folder, which contains this property file. Even if you have a Windows, you go to that folder, right-click on it, and say zip, it will zip the entire meta-nf folder, which contains all the files under the meta-nf. Is that answer your question? Or
that's what I wanted. And last question, if the rollout update, you said it's only available with clusters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it available for a single installation, end installation?
You mean the vertical clustering?
Yes.
Just on one node, you have two clusters?
Yes.
To be honest, I really wanted to try that, but I didn't try. But as per the documentation, it won't work. That's what the documentation says. So as per the documentation, it says you have to have it in separate node.
So it has to
because be... Because it stops all the cluster members on one single node. But theoretically, I'm against that. It should work. That's what I feel personally. Because it uses almost like a ripple stack function of your cluster, which does stop one cluster member at a time. It won't stop both the cluster member, even though it's installed on, it's created on the same node. So theoretically, I mean, it should work. I don't see any problem in that, actually. But as per the documentation, it won't. That's what it says. You have to have it in separate because it's it pushed the file inside the node one first. When it pushed the file, it stops both the cluster members. That's what the document is saying, but I never tested it, actually.
Okay. So is the update recommended in production environments, or is it just for development and...
Rollout update?
Yeah.
Oh, it is recommended in production as well. You should be able to do it without any problem. But always better to have it in the latest level. We had a couple of issues earlier. I don't have the APAR numbers, but most of the issues are fixed in 6.0.21 or 6.1.11. So you should be able to use it on your production box.
Okay. Thank
you. Before you do it on your development box one time. Make sure it works. The same application, same thing, same environment. And then try it on your production. And then do it on your production.
Sure. Thanks. Thanks again, Kumar.
Thank you.
And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Webster Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Kumarian, for presenting today.